Ezra has 100% taught me to be present, for I'm by nature type A, like to have a plan and details. And in this life, that just doesn't happen. There's no way around it. I truly have embraced, for the most part, in a lot of areas, the unknown. I would say that we are present with him. We do enjoy every minute with him because we know that that's a gift from God, which every child, every moment with your child is, but especially, you know, the gift that we've been given of transplant. But just to be present is huge for me, because that's something that I really struggled with before.
Welcome to the Light Your Heart with Hope podcast. I'm Erin, and I'm so thankful you're here. My hope and prayer is that through listening to today's episode, God would encourage you and do immeasurably more than all you can ask or imagine. God is still good. He is still good. He is still good. If you've just started this episode and you're wondering if you should keep listening because you're doubting the goodness of God, I encourage you to push past your doubt and listen to Carlita's powerful testimony. And I hope that by the end of hearing her story, that you too will be able to walk into your own circumstance and say, but if not, God is still good.
So my name is Carlita Blackwell, and my husband, Ryan, and I have a five-year-old, Ezra Blackwell, who was diagnosed via newborn screening at birth with Krabbe leukodystrophy in Missouri. He was the first child to be identified on the newborn screening panel. Yeah, our life looks a little bit different than we thought it would be going into parenthood. I think even before getting married, I've always been a type A personality. So I like to have a plan. I like to have things figured out beforehand. I, you know, think three steps ahead. And this is something that we could have never been prepared for in any way. So it definitely knocked us off of our feet in more ways than one. So just going into his diagnosis, I guess, we were home with Ezra for 2 weeks before we got his newborn screening results. And my husband had literally just gone back to work the day before. And I got a call from the geneticist stating that he had a abnormal result come back. He told me what it was, gave me no other information. I wrote down the name on a post-it, and he told me to call him back if I had any other questions. Obviously, I Googled the name after getting off the phone and was like just completely devastated at what I found online. All I saw was essentially death when I looked up the words Krabbe. So I called him back, obviously, immediately, and asked him, so is my son going to die from this? And he said, it is typically fatal. There is a transplant that's a possibility, but I don't know anything about that. So once again, not very helpful. By this time, I had called Ryan and just told him to come home right away. I think I told him that there was something wrong, but not in depth. So he kind of had an idea that something was going on, but never could have imagined the extent of what was happening. I had not seen him cry, and we had been together, I think, like 10 years at that point, and I had not seen him cry probably in the past 9 years. And obviously he was just heartbroken. And from there, Ryan kind of took the action, because I was just kind of numb after that point. I think after reading what I read, just not knowing anything, I was like, I just need to hold my baby. I don't, you know, want to know anything else. So Ryan kind of took the lead on figuring out what we needed to do and what we could do. And he got connected with Hunter's Hope, who connected us with Dr. Kurtzberg at Duke that same night, and talked to us more about Krabbe, explained it, and also talked to us about the stem cell transplant and what that looks like. Now, honestly, I don't think I retained any of that at that time. I think all that I gained from that conversation in those 2 days that we had before we left were that this needs to happen if we want him to have a chance, and it needs to happen quickly. I think that's all that I really understood at that point. Everything else was just in one ear, out the other. So in the course of, it was less than 48 hours, I believe we made the decision to go to Duke and have him transplanted. We told our families the night of, and that was something that I think I had Ryan tell them, because once again, I was just completely numb and checked out. Ryan told both sides of our families, and they both, you know, had wanted to come over. And I was like, no, I just want to be alone. I just want to be alone. But within like an hour, our parents were here. My sister, my nieces, nephews, our families just showed up at our door. They were like, we know that you said you didn't want to see anyone, but we're going to show up for you guys. And that was really special because we really did need them here with us. So for them to know that, even though I was saying, no, we don't want anyone here, for them just to show up was very exactly what we needed. And definitely just a God thing. In that moment, he knew exactly how to reach us, honestly. It was kind of like a little bit of a lifeline, that support. They knew what was going on as much as they could, and that we were up and leaving. Basically, they just said, we'll handle everything here. We'll figure it out. Just go. Left our dogs and house and all of that, and moved to North Carolina for almost 6 months. And I was actually thinking about this the other day and talking with another mom who's currently going through transplant, and just the fact that out of those 6 months, we lived in a hospital for 3 months. In the hospital, you're doing the same thing literally every day over and over and over again. And it's, number one, already a traumatic experience. The reason that you're there, what your child's going through while they're there. And you're literally doing this every single day, the same thing. And it's almost like you're just replaying a trauma every day. It's like the same trauma every single day for an extended period of time. So just thinking about 3 months of the same thing, day after day, this mom was struggling, and I'm like, yes, there's no way not to struggle during that. You're in the worst, you know, position that no parent should be in, and you're reliving it literally day after day. That was very difficult. And again, you're, for the most part, even if you're in the same city, we weren't, but you're away from friends, you're away from family because you need to be isolated to keep your baby safe while they go through chemotherapy and all of those things. So it's isolating, you're just in a sterile environment. And like I said, reliving trauma, the same trauma every single day. So that was difficult, definitely for us. And I think any parent. Ezra, thankfully, did pretty good during his hospital stay. We didn't have a ton of hiccups. We kind of coasted. It was just a very long stay. And I say that now, but I'm sure that when I was in it, that I don't know if I would have described it as no hiccups or coasting. I would love to go back. Well, I wouldn't, but I would love to see how I would describe it when I was in those shoes, because I'm sure that there were days that I did not feel that way. But really getting through those days, I remember just, I mean, what I told people over and over is I don't know how people without faith in God, like, do this. I don't know how. To me, it seemed impossible for people to get through something like this without a faith in God. Because, one, you're questioning why it's happening. And two, you're questioning, you know, this is a tiny, innocent little baby that you're looking at each day who's being poked and prodded and is in pain. And it really tests your faith. But to know that in everything that he does, he has a purpose and will bring restoration from it. I knew that in the back of my head. So if I did not have that in the back of my head, I don't know that I would have managed to get through this. And also being able to see the little things that God did to show up for our family during this time. He definitely used the nurses in our lives. They became our family. He used our friends and family back home who stayed so connected to us from miles away, who faithfully checked in, sent care packages for Ezra and Ryan and I of our favorite things, or we missed so many holidays, but each holiday we would get like a holiday gift box with decorations for a hospital room. Our families would come visit us. It never like escaped our minds that this was God's hand using them to comfort us. So yes, we were feeling comforted by them, but we knew that ultimately that was God comforting us through them. And that's honestly what kept us going during that time in the hospital. And even afterwards. During the hospital, so, you know, we went through transplant. We still didn't have answers. And even to this day, people ask, you know, what does transplant, you know, do for Krabbe disease? And I tell them, you know, we don't know what Ezra's life is going to look like in 2 years, 5 years, 10, we have no idea. And that's something that in the beginning was very hard. I think that that's another area that God has definitely softened my heart and allowed myself to just be okay with not knowing and honestly just being very present with him every day. There are times that, of course, worry creeps in and tries to overtake my mind, and sometimes it wins and sometimes it doesn't. I think that a quote that always has like helped us on this journey, and before Ezra, we experienced a miscarriage and it helped then too, but, and if not, he is still good. Even if he doesn't do exactly what we want him to do, God's faithfulness is still good, and what he is doing in Ezra's life is clear and evidently good. So we just need to have confidence in that. And that's something that really just helps remind us that, yeah, even if this doesn't happen, or even if we don't know, you know, what things are going to be like in 20 years, even then, God is still good. That's what we do know. So there are things that we don't know, but we do know that God is good. So that's something that we can trust in, and that's something that we can't hold on to. And I don't know how people who don't have that make it through these situations, because they're hard. For others in this situation or trying to get through uncertainty, obviously, you know, faith is a huge component, but also just making sure that you open your eyes to see where God is working. I think when we're in these really deep valleys, it's easy not to want to see those areas where God is working and where he is showing his care for us. Oftentimes the devil doesn't want us to see those. He just wants it to all look black. But there are little spots where God is doing good works. So trying to find those and trying to open our eyes to see those places where even though we're in these valleys, there are still places that God is doing what he promises that he'll do, which is restore us, be faithful to us, and ultimately just be the good God that he is. So really looking to see those places, trying your hardest at least. And then also I think finding community is extremely important. This is something that is extremely isolating. I have never talked to a parent or mom who doesn't feel isolated with this disease. It feels very lonely at times, and making sure that you're plugged in, not saying that you need to talk to someone every day or once a week, but making sure that you have at least one person who understands what you're going through, that if you're having a really bad day, you know that you can connect with them, because doing it alone is extremely hard. So making sure that you have that support system of people who get it, I think is extremely important. I think about things often just because I feel like I'm very plugged into the Grabe world, obviously. And could never be more grateful that Ezra was transplanted. But it doesn't mean that like things still aren't hard. So we still have tough days. We still have hard decisions that we have to make for him, things that we have to think about that we, you know, normal parents don't have to think about. And I think about all of the families that I know, we carry a lot. And I think that it's really important that we at least sometimes are able to put that down. Because if you don't do that for yourself, you're not helpful to your child. So that's something that I think is extremely hard for us as parents, but is also extremely necessary for us to continue to be those parents and advocates for them. As I shared, Ryan responded kind of jumping into action mode since I was kind of checked out, immediately finding out what we needed to do. Ryan, I think, grieved. I will say we both probably grieved later after leaving the hospital, after leaving North Carolina, because when you're in the hospital, there's no time to grieve. You're just like in go mode. You're in fight or flight, and you're fighting at that point in the hospital. So there's no time to grieve the diagnosis. So we both, I would say, didn't grieve it until we returned home. And I would say Ryan even later on. So probably once Ezra hit the age where he would normally be doing age-appropriate things like walking and kicking balls and things like that, I think that's when it kind of hit Ryan. And he is definitely an internal processor, not a big communicator, but we were able to talk about things. And I think he still struggles a bit with opening up about how he feels about how things affect Ezra. But overall, he plays a huge part in advocating for him and attending doctor's appointments, taking off work to do those, and school meetings. I think he definitely has his own struggles. I think they look differently than mine, definitely. Their bond, and I always attribute this to Ryan also being in the hospital. I mean, us just being us three for 6 months. Ezra, I would say, is equally attached to both of us. And I would say that's from just being together 24/7, the three of us, for those 6 months in the hospital. Something that we had to talk about too was if we were going to have more children after this. So that was something that was a discussion we didn't expect to have at our age and after having our first child Earthside. So that was a hard discussion and something that we made some big decisions, and there are some decisions that we're still making today. So just things that we never thought that we would have to make those types of decisions. that we definitely took. You take things for granted, definitely. Ezra has, you know, he's 5 and a half and he has his first loose tooth. And Ryan was like, oh, his tooth is really loose. And like literally hit me. I was like, I literally like forgot that kids even lose teeth. Like wasn't even on my radar. Like it's not something that I, cause it's not something we have so many other things to worry about that. Like I forgot that he still has normal things that will happen to him that other kids experience as well. I was like, oh yeah, other kids lose teeth all the time. And Ezra will also lose a tooth. I was like, didn't even register with me that, you know, and it's just little things like that. Or being able to go, you know, to summer camp. That's something that we're dealing with right now. You know, our school district is wonderful and they have inclusive programs, but being able to go to camps that, you know, some of our friends' kids go to and having to ask, are those inclusive camps? Like, would he be able to go with, you know, our friends' kiddos, and having to see if there would be support there for him. So just little things that other parents don't have to think about and plan for and worry about, to be honest. Everything involves 5 more steps in our lives. So I definitely would say just, you know, be grateful and hug those babies and be grateful that they are healthy and that they are wild and running around and, you know, being ornery. I know that Ezra would definitely be that way. We always say if he was running around, he would be a little runner. He would probably not listen to us and be gone. But yeah, it's just, it's definitely, especially when we're around friends, because we have good friends with a lot of kids between us. And just seeing, you know, the differences when we're all together can be difficult sometimes. Also seeing their kids interact with him and being compassionate with him and sweet is also something that we don't take for granted either. It's definitely a blessing. Ezra is quite a personality. He is very social, loves people, loves other kids, loves if everything is all about him, loves an audience, loves to laugh, loves to tell jokes. He uses a communication device if there are words that he's, you know, not able to say verbally. He's not afraid to do anything, which, I mean, he will try any activity, he always wants to be on the go. He's also very intuitive. So, you know, if someone's feeling sad, he gets very concerned about that. But if someone's feeling happy, he is just like thrilled for that person. He's just like, he's honestly just a light. Like he's easygoing, super flexible, which I attribute just to like those early months. Like I keep saying, I think you have to be, he slept in like a room that was beeping all the time. He's just a very flexible kid. He honestly just loves life. And that's what I see over and over with these kids is they absolutely love life and like are excited about everything. And that's 100% Ezra. Like everything is exciting. Everything is a joy. He loves school. He loves the beach. He's funny. He likes to be naughty and he thinks it's funny if he is naughty. So he does have that little streak in there. So people say that comes from me, but I don't know if that's true. But yeah, he is just, yeah, a little light. He's always smiling. He loves things that normal kids his age love, like fast cars, very specific. The cars have to be fast if he's going to like them. But he loves to read books. he participates in equine therapy, so he's very into horses. Right now, he just did a horse show, which was his first time, which was awesome to see. That was like our first time having him have like an event that he was a part of. So that was, our whole family came. It was just really exciting to be able to support him in something like that. But yeah, he's a little firecracker. He's definitely, but he's also very sweet. Loves his mom, loves to cuddle, loves his family, loves his friends. He's very, very special. I've always said it's weird that I existed before knowing this world, and knowing all these people in this world, because every person that I've met is absolutely incredible. And it's crazy to me that there are people that just walk around not knowing that like this life in this world exists, and that these incredible people who have been through the worst things imaginable are, you know, still here and are spreading hope and joy. I'm just like, how did I not, you know about this? How did I, you know, it's definitely made us better. And to think of like not being in this world or not knowing about it, is always crazy to think about. Just, yeah, people just living their lives not unaware. Ezra has 100% taught me to be present. As I shared before, I'm by nature type A, like to have a plan and details. And in this life, that just doesn't happen. There's no way around it. So I truly have embraced, for the most part, in a lot of areas, the unknown. Would say that we are present with him. We do enjoy every minute with him because we know that that's a gift from God, which every child, every moment with your child is, but especially, you know, the gift that we've been given of transplant. But just to be present is huge for me, because that's something that I really struggled with before. And also just having not only compassion, but a conviction to be an advocate for others, and really making sure that, you know, others in the disability community have the access to things that everybody else does. So once Ezra started school, obviously things, you know, come to light, and we've definitely been like a force for pushing for more equality within the educational system for kids with special needs. Definitely pushing for inclusion in classrooms. We are sending him to kindergarten at a school next year who has not had a kiddo with, it's called multiple disabilities is what Ezra falls under educationally. And we said, you know, our school has 18 elementary schools and only two of them were inclusive schools. And we were like, with 18, there need to be more. So we pushed for more of those, because Ezra has a right to go to, you know, be at any school. So just things like that, he's taught us so much, and I can't even, not only us, but our family and our friends, we've seen the changes in them as well, which is amazing to see. Even the absolute worst times when you don't think that you can come back from something, knowing that God is still good, clinging to that. That's the only thing that you need to cling to. Nothing else that we cling to will sustain us. So just clinging to the fact that no matter what happens, he is still good. I think that that is kind of how we try to live our lives, no matter the hardship, we know and we trust, and that ultimately in heaven, none of this will matter anyway. So just remembering ultimately that God is still faithful and he is still good. And we can't cling to the things of this world, but we can cling to him and his word and his truth.
But if not, he is still good. I've wrestled with this for a long time, believing that God is good in the midst of the brokenness and the heartache. I actually have a tattoo on my left wrist that says, "Even if." It's a daily reminder for me that even if my circumstances aren't good, my God still is good. Like Ezra, my brother Hunter had Krebs disease. He went to heaven when I was 10 years old, and as I grew up and started to process my grief, trusting in the goodness of God was a real battle for me. I questioned his goodness and his faithfulness, but even in the midst of my doubt, I chose to cling to what I knew to be true. Goodness is God's nature. It's who he is. And like Carlita, clinging to that truth has been a lifeline of hope for me. To learn more about Carlita's story, check out the link in the show notes. I hope you will join me again next week to hear a woman's story of the abundant provision of God in her most desperate time of need. And I pray that you will be encouraged and know that God is providing for you too, right where you are. Thank you so much for being here. I hope that Carlita's story and Ezra's life encourage you to share your own story. You matter, your life matters, and your story can make an impact that matters for eternity. Make a difference today for someone who is fighting for their tomorrow.